Everyone, and welcome to What's Up Wednesday. I'm Jeremy.
Doug.
I'm Peter Klein, still filling in for Kevin.
Yeah, you keep saying that.
You've got me handcuffed to the chair. What else am I supposed to say?
I'm Peter Klein's brand new host of the 8-Bit Geek.
Yeah,
we haven't heard from Kevin in a while, and we haven't also tried reaching out to him. We assume he's alive and well.
Okay, so we touched on this a little bit, and let's start off with the Star Cruiser, the Star Wars Star Cruiser, and it's not open. Are they opening one in Disneyland, or is it just in Florida?
I was in Disneyland.
I thought it was in both.
I thought it was Florida because Florida is bigger than
yeah. I think it's Florida.
World is bigger than land.
Right.
Yes.
So it is launched. It has officially launched. I don't know if you guys have like watched any of the YouTube reviewers or anything like that. I have definitely paid attention to it all because it is something that I was like, oh my God, this is a dream. This would be amazing. And then they released the pricing of it, which is, it starts at like what, $5,000?
Yeah, $4,000 or $5,000.
I think it's $5,000 for two people.
Oof, and it can go up to what, $8,000 or something like that?
Yeah.
And that is for two nights on the Star Cruiser. Now, Peter, have you watched any videos or reviews on this thing?
I've seen a couple. I've got to admit, it doesn't seem like my kind of thing. I'm sure there are people that this idea of, I think the best thing someone explained it as is forced LARPing.
Yeah.
So one reviewer was completely, they nailed it. They said, this is everything that they promised with Batuu, AKA Star Wars Land. But then now they're just upcharging $5,000 for it. And in a hotel.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, that's spot on. I think you're right though. I think the biggest problem is what if you have all these different personality types and when I was watching the reviews, I said, fuck, you have to be so outgoing to do this. Like,
yes,
you really have to be able to be happy with interacting, but also at the same time, I was watching this stuff and my wife was watching it and she was, she was obsessed with it because she's like, Jeremy, we have to do this. And I was like, no way. And I'm watching this with her and I'm like, they're paying $5,000 to sit on their phones. It is so much data pad stuff. And like, you're literally just answering questions on a data pad. And then every once in a while you have a live action interaction with somebody from the ship.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, this is not worth that money. Like, it's really cool to be like 100% engulfed in this world. But at the same time, like even they have animatronic heads and stuff like that. And I was like, this is so super sick. But I was like, I could just walk around Batuu and feel like I'm in Star Wars. I don't need to.
Exactly. I saw someone saying, I completely agree with this. I would pay a couple $100 just to sit in the back of the smoky cantina in my Jedi cloak and just be there in the dark corner drinking my blue milk, green, whatever, and just have random characters with their animatronic heads walk up and go, ooh, don't bother him. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's the experience I want. I want to be left alone in Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, that's what everyone wanted in Star Wars to begin with. This is what Han wanted. Just leave me the fuck alone, dude. I just want to drink in this fucking shitty cantina, Oh my god, you only fly to Alderaan? Fuck! Okay, it's gonna be 4,000 credits, dude.
But I think it's the difference that they're confusing immersion and interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like the idea of walking through this place and being treated like I belong here. Mm-hmm. I do not necessarily want to be part of a giant role-playing game where I have to do this and talk to this person and do that, you know.
And I think they nailed that on like Rise of the Resistance. Like when you when you ride that, you are a part of it, but you're playing a passive role. You are they're herding you along because you are a prisoner. And you get to experience it, but you don't have to like act. You don't have to like play a role. You're just there doing it. But yeah, and I think they nailed too, like at Bet Two, when you go into the cantina there, Olga's Cantina, they nail that setting that both of you were talking about. Like it feels like a seedy little bar. The lighting is great in it. You can have a little booth, you have your drinks and stuff. Now, of course they tell you to get out after 30 minutes, but, you still get to, they're like, we got to get the new ones in. But, at the same time, I was just like, oh my God, this was about. When I saw that ship, I was like, this is too clean. This is too Star Trek-y. Like this is not, I don't like this.
It's a cruise, you know, ship.
I know.
But Star Wars has its nice ships. There are people out there with the money that have the nice ships. I mean, look at like Amidala's ship.
I agree. But also when I looked at like all the displays and the layouts and stuff like that, I was like, I get that they have to build this way for safety and for a large amount of people touching it and playing with it. And it has to stand up. But I was just at the same time, I went, these are rounded corners. And this looks very like, this does not feel, I guess it just doesn't convey that feeling of Star Wars.
Yeah, we talked about it before. Star Wars has a very specific design language mm-hmm. that they use. Yeah. And that is why the mods and Book of Boba Fett didn't fucking work.
Yeah.
They were like, they could fit in Star Wars, but they did not fit on the shit world of Tatooine by a bunch of thugs who couldn't afford water, but could afford mods and those bikes. Bullshit. Bullshit. They would have been fine on literally any other planet, but you put them on Tatooine, is garbage. It did not match the design language. They were too shiny. It's a fucking sand planet. There's no way they're that shiny. No way.
Doug, this is hurts Doug in a
we hit, I was gonna say we hit a sore spot.
Yeah, we did.
There's a design language for Star Wars, and they did not fit.
Yep.
They didn't fit. They could have been a little dusty and rusty, and they would have fit in better. But and we probably wouldn't hear people bitching about it so much, and we wouldn't be I wouldn't be bitching about it so much. But they look at their goddamn Power Rangers on those fucking bright ass bikes. It didn't work. It was dumb, stupid.
I agree. okay, so how? Okay, so give me the over under. How long before this experiment does it? Okay, for first of all, does it fail? Or
no,
you don't think it fails?
No, I think they've put too much money into it to allow it to fail. I think there's still going to be enough people. Now, here's the thing:
it's a one and done experience.
It's a one and done experience. I think prices are going to have to come down. To appeal to a wider audience, once you get all these diehards through, like once the people who can like seriously afford it, and then now granted, this thing's like booked out for like the next year, you know what I mean, or longer. Like
it's
so once you get all these people through, the people that can afford it and can do it and or whatever, like some point, yeah, you're gonna be like, man, there's only 12 people booked in the hotel today because we don't have enough room.
I think that go ahead.
Go ahead, Jer. Well, no, what I was gonna say is I think they're probably gonna treat it like Rise of the Resistance, that they don't care that not everyone can do it. They're totally fine just marketing to the we can afford a $10,000 weekend people.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it is like kind of a one and done experience, unless they are constantly upgrading and changing things.
Well, but that's it. Like you just said, they only have to upgrade it every 2 or 3 years.
They could change the storylines. Yeah, that's very true.
Right. In the same way that like Rise of Resistance, I know one of the things they're trying to do with that is every like, I know people who work at Disneyland, questions there. I know people who know people who work at Disneyland. And one of the things they're talking about is the Disney, the Rise of the Resistance story there is going to update. That, like, if you go now and you go there in a year and a half, the sort of story playing out that day is going to advance.
Interesting.
So you, so the idea is that you could keep going back to, God, I just blanked the Black Spire, whatever they're calling it, but
yeah, Batuu. I think it is Black Spire. Black Spire
is just Batuu, but the whole. To that section.
Galaxy's Edge.
Galaxy's Edge. Thank you.
Yeah.
You can go back to Galaxy's Edge. Like, I think their goal is to make it something that you have to go every year.
In order to experience the new content. Yeah.
So it will, so you can stay up to date with it. And I think that's what they're going to do with this. That, yes, it's only going to appeal to those diehard fans, but they're going to get 10 grand out of those diehard fans every year. And like you said, book solid for the year.
Do you know why it's also book solid for a year?
Because there's only like 12 rooms.
It's 150 rooms, and I think that was done strategically in order for that to build that FOMO.
Yeah, exactly. Increase demand by like limiting your supply, essentially. Yep. Like, oh, you can only have so many people in. And yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense too, because again, if it, you don't want a, you know, a 2,000 room hotel or whatever, and all those people, you know, you split them into groups or however they do it, and you get them through the thing. I don't know. There's a lot of it that's cool. One of the things I saw from one of the reviewers who went during like that week that they had like all the influencers go out, that, you know, it was paid for by Disney. You know, it was like, hey, come talk about this and review it. They're like, it was a really cool experience. Like, it was a once in a lifetime, like, incredible experience to do it, to be a part of it, to be immersed in it. But I would not pay $4,000 for it or $5,000. Yeah. Like, I absolutely, I as free, like, obviously, like, it was so fucking cool. But I will, I bet the amount of money they're charging for this, 100% not worth it.
So I also saw one of those people do that. They go, would we spend this much money on it? Probably not. But then at the end of the video, they're like, all right, so this was our, Disney invited us out. But guess what? We're going to the official launch. So they ended up going and paying the $5,000.
They may have already booked and paid for it originally and then got invited by Disney later, right? So it's like, well, we already fucking paid for it, so we may as well just do it again. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was this person, it was a TikToker, I forget who it was, but it was just like, it does a lot of Star Wars content. And he was like, it was incredible. It was, I loved it. It was fun to be a part of it. You know, that you get clothes to wear, to match, to be a part of it, to do these things, you know, your food and drink and all that stuff are all included in that. Like, all this stuff is included. And they're like, it was great, but I could pay that much and go on a week long cruise, you know?
But I think what Jer was saying about how they've deliberately limited the supply.
Yeah,
that you know, there is somebody at Disney. There is someone who sat down and calculated this all out.
Yeah.
How many rooms do we need? How many roles do we need for our ongoing LARP here? You know, they have figured all of this. They didn't like randomly decide to only do 150 rooms.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think it'll fail. I don't think it will. I just feel that, like, yeah, they're, it only has like a 2 to 3 year lifespan before something's going to need to be done. And that may go for Galaxy's Edge entirely, because like what people love about Star Wars is not necessarily the sequels. And unfortunately, Batuu is built entirely around Rey and Kylo Ren and the First Order and all that stuff and the Resistance. And I think even with the current stuff on Disney, like, it's still Stormtroopers and Vader and the Emperor and Luke and Leia and Boba Fett and the man, you know, it's all set in the like Galactic Civil War time frame, essentially, you know, with that being the main players. And I think that's what people really want and like. And so that's kind of been my problem with Batuu also, is like, I don't want to see, I like Rey and I like Kylo Ren. I think they're great characters, but at the same time, like, I want to fucking see Boba Fett and I want to see Darth Vader and I want to see a Princess Leia. And you know, it's, okay, you got Chewie, but Chewie's fucking immortal. Dude's fucking 300 years old. Like, it doesn't matter. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, and I don't necessarily want to go to like a Dagobah part of the thing and go see Yoda. Like, but like, you can do something.
Did you know that before they settled on Batu and like putting in a whole new world together for this. It was the concept art and everything was Tatooine. Like yeah, they were going to
Tatooine sucked.
Yeah, they were like, this is people don't want a desert.
I don't want to go to a desert. No, no, and like Batu's fine, but like they've also in the canon of Star Wars have established like Anakin. Anakin was on Batu at one point with Thrawn during the Clone Wars. It's where they met, and then later during the Galactic Civil War, Thrawn and Vader were on Batu together. And because it's a great scene where Thrawn is like, I know you. And Vader's like, what the fuck? No, you don't. You've never met me before.
No, you are mistaken.
Yeah, and it's like, bitch, I'm smart. Grand Admiral Thrawn, I know you. And, you know, but like, so like, there's so much stuff you do, especially if they're going to bring Thrawn. And I just feel like, setting it in this time frame, and it seems like an easy thing to fix, right? You got the Millennium Falcon, you got X-Wings, just give him a paint job. You know what I mean? Like, fix some little things here and there, and just, I don't know.
They could do that, for sure.
Yeah, and so, but you could also do that with the Galactic Cruiser Starline thing also. We're just like, okay, switching it up, now we're in the Republic, and like, oh, here's Princess Leia, and she's on this cruise ship for some fucking reason, and, you know, I don't know. They have those options, but I feel like if you do that, you have a draw more so. I mean, people are excited about Star Wars Land anyways, but like, again, like, man, we want to see the people we know who have deep histories and deep stories that are constantly being told, whereas they've kind of, I mean, like what, I don't know anything new that's really going on with like any of these sequel characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Normally they would, normally we would have a ton of comic books and all this stuff. But we've moved on to the High Republic.
That too. Yeah. Well, and they're also focusing, they've been doing, they went from like the end of A New Hope, and they covered that 2 years in between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. And currently they're filling in the timeline between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So you're getting all these stories about like, okay, well, let's talk about the Bounty Hunter Wars between all the Bounty Hunters fighting each other. Cad Bane versus Boba Fett versus Black Chrysanthemum and versus, you know, all IG-88 and all these people. And then as well as, like, how did Vader find out about Luke? And, like, him hiring Boba Fett and Luke going out and training himself because Yoda's dead. Or, you know, all that stuff. There's a lot of really good, cool new content coming out from there. And like not much at all, if anything, really. For there is like a Kylo Ren series going on and all that stuff, or there was. I don't know if it's still happening at Marvel, but I
think the problem is that because they switched course so many times with the third trilogy, whatever one you call it, the new movies.
Yeah,
they switched course so many times that you ended up with this vastly divided fan base who think this movie was the good one, that was the good one. This is like, because there's, it doesn't feel planned at all. It like,
it really wasn't.
and it wasn't. And it's like that we did this one movie and left it wide open. And then we brought in a new guy and he said, okay, then this is the direction we're going to go. And nobody liked them. They're like, forget that. Now this is the direction we're going to go. And it feels like that. And I don't think it's really a coincidence that after that, they said, forget moving forward. We're just going to fill in all these spaces back here. Even because, let's face it, any story that happens between A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back, we know what happens to Vader. We know what happens to Luke Skywalker. We know what happens to everybody between these two. We can't randomly kill off Han Solo between... Yep. Yeah. New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. We cannot kill off Boba Fett. We can't, you know, find your thing in there, and you know what happens to 90% of the people. I think one of the reasons they went with the whole Old Republic, and I know a couple of people writing it, but I think part of it is that it's so far back that it's completely unconnected to anything. And it's basically what they wanted to do with this new trilogy is, okay, let's move on. And instead, they're moving on by going so far back that we have tons of space between that and anything else.
That's why, I mean, we said our Star Wars D&D podcast almost 1,000 years before, for that very reason, where it was like, there are games that take place, like the old Knights of the Old Republic stuff that take place 3,000 years before, and that has a really like rich, like there's books about it, there's comics about it, there's video games about it, you know, they filled in that stuff. Again, this is before Disney bought them, but like that all had pretty strong canon. And then there's some stuff sprinkled in between. And then about 50 years before the Battle of Yavin or whatever, like that's when stuff started picking back up again, because now they've written books and stuff that deal with a younger Sidious and Count Dooku and Qui-Gon Jinn and all that stuff that took place beforehand. So there was like a nice couple thousand year break where there's a couple stories, and we took like, okay, that's a good story. Let's take that and let's use that as the basis for the show. And but again, it gives you so much freedom to back away from everything that is like huge. Like, okay, these planets exist. This stuff's still happening. Like, because Star Wars and nothing ever actually gets fixed or changed. But like, I like the Old Republic stuff, and I think even if they took Bot 2 back to the Old Republic, like that would open them up for so much cool stuff too. But I think unfortunately, there hasn't been a show or a game or a movie or, you know, anything that casual people would know about, you know, that like, I don't know if it would work. But that's why, yeah, they should set it again. I know that time frame feels played out because we've had so many books and video games and comics and TV shows and stuff or whatever, all set in like the Clone Wars and the Galactic Era, like all that. It feels played out, but at the same time, like, again, that's who people know. Like, people randomly off the street will know who Princess Leia is probably more than they'll know who Rey is. They'll know Darth Vader maybe more than they'll know Kylo Ren. They'll know, you know, you know what I mean? Like, I find absolutely a much better place to even if it is just filling in holes. I don't know. I like the sequels, but they haven't done anything with it. So it feels like a dead end. It feels like the end of everything. So of that universe, and it's unfortunate because that was not a great ending. Like,
okay, so that's our What's Up Wednesday. We talked a whole bunch of Star Wars, and we told you we were going to do that. Batman was Tuesday, Star Wars was Wednesday. Tomorrow we got Thirsty Thursday, where we're going to be talking about all the stuff that we've been reading, playing, watching, all that good stuff. Until then, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Peter Klein, still handcuffed to this chair and filling in for Kevin.
We'll edit that out.